The 4th of July holiday became a flashpoint for several distinct but interconnected American political fault lines. Let's start with Newport Beach, where crowds rioted on Saturday night, over 100 people arrested, fireworks used as weapons against police officers, grocery stores looted, despite what authorities said were months of enhanced safety preparations. This happened in one of the wealthiest coastal communities in the United States. The disconnect between the resources deployed for crowd management and the outcome suggests that the social dynamics driving these incidents aren't primarily resource problems.
The Newport Beach riot and the Delta flight struck by a firework during its final approach at Chicago Midway are both expressions of something that's harder to measure than property damage, a deterioration of the social contract around shared public spaces. A commercial aircraft on approach at a major airport getting hit by celebratory fireworks is alarming not because any passengers were likely injured in this case, but because it represents the normalization of behavior that a decade ago would have been considered genuinely shocking. The FAA had already grounded all inbound O'Hare flights earlier that weekend due to severe storms, and the travel disruption across the Midwest was severe.
The most politically charged moment of the holiday was Patriot Front's march through Washington. The white nationalist group marched through the Capitol on America's 250th birthday, an overtly provocative staging that was designed to maximize symbolic impact. Interior Secretary Burgum's response, characterizing the march as messy democracy and declining to condemn the group or recommend that Trump do so, drew immediate criticism. The distinction between protected free speech and the symbolic endorsement implied by the Secretary of the Interior calling a white supremacist march messy democracy is significant, and it reflects a broader debate about where the current administration draws lines.
Michael Moore's July 4th speech, where he drew an explicit distinction between patriotism and nationalism, directly engaged that debate. It's worth noting that these aren't just abstract philosophical concepts. They have concrete policy implications. Patriotism in the civic Republican tradition implies loyalty to constitutional principles and democratic institutions. Nationalism, particularly in its ethnic or exclusionary forms, implies loyalty to a particular cultural identity. The argument Moore was making is that conflating the two legitimizes movements like Patriot Front under the banner of celebrating America.
The White House's July 4th report, branding Smithsonian leaders as radical activists, fits into this pattern. The Smithsonian Institution includes the National Museum of African American History and Culture, the National Museum of the American Indian, and a dozen other institutions that hold America's cultural patrimony. The administration has been systematically contesting the curatorial and interpretive frameworks these museums use, particularly around race, colonialism, and national identity. Calling curators radical activists is the political language for repositioning institutional control of how America narrates its own history.
And on Capitol Hill, the House is effectively paralyzed. Speaker Johnson is trying to downplay what he's calling a minor rift, but Representative Ana Paulina Luna's ongoing floor blockade over the Save America Act has left Congress at a standstill. Johnson calling Luna a team player while she is literally blocking the floor is the kind of political doublespeak that tells you the rift is more significant than the speaker wants to acknowledge. The practical consequence is that legislative business, including budget decisions that affect everything from clean energy policy to defense spending, is stalled.
Trump amplifying a Dallas Federal Reserve working paper linking unauthorized immigration to housing costs. The paper found that unauthorized immigration drove roughly 30% of home price growth and 20% of rent increases between 2021 and 2024, is both a political maneuver and a genuine policy debate. The underlying research is contested among economists, but the president using a Fed working paper to frame an immigration argument creates a kind of institutional laundering. It lets him present immigration restriction as data-driven economic policy rather than identity politics. How you evaluate that depends heavily on how you evaluate the underlying research methodology, and economists are genuinely divided.